This is RSN's Racing Pulse.
And it's 8 minutes to nine on Racing Pulse. It's been a very difficult 2 or 3 years to be an administrator in any sport, in anything in the world because of COVID. And that was exactly the time frame of Dale Brown's tenure as the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria. And he's announced this week that he's moving on. And it's been a very interesting period to be the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria. And there's been some big gains in that time. And Dale joins me to reflect on his stint. How are you, Dale?
Good morning, Matt. Great to be with you.
Yeah, you took the job and then the virus came.
I did. I was appointed back in October 2019 and started just after Melbourne Cup Day. And the first couple of months were to get around to the industry and set a plan for the future and a clear plan for success and viability for the sport. Then the pandemic hit in March of 2020, and we were thrown into a completely different era and of being able to do things around, dealing with firstly the pandemic, and then what we did from an organisational point of view was really join the industry together, bring them as one, and bring everyone together collectively. And it gave us the opportunity to do things that you probably wouldn't get to do in a normal enterprise environment. So we went to regionalised racing. We brought people out of their hiatus who hadn't driven a horse in years and they were driving in their own areas. And what we did was we normalised prize money across the whole state. So I know that annoyed some people. There's no metro racing as such. But it gave the industry the opportunity to reset on many fronts. And then the calendar year came to play for the racing calendar, and we back-ended all our features from November through to February, and we've created like our own summer carnival off the back end of the spring carnival. And then there was the extension of Trot's Vision during that period. People started to watch it, and we got a whole new audience of 18 to 35. That was up 250%. We built out the channel on Trot's Vision, and the sport's in a healthier position than it was in 3 years ago, but there are challenges ahead, as you and I are both aware of.
Absolutely. The one thing that all the codes experienced was a wagering boom, an income boom through wagering because everyone was sitting at home and had nothing to do. And so there were income positives through the COVID. But when you took the chair and said, these are the things I want to achieve, how many were knocked out of the ballpark by COVID?
Well, I think what happened was when you sit down and you look at achievements or vision in a normalised environment, you have to pivot, clearly, because it's a different environment you're working in. But What I did was actually look at a way to achieve the things I wanted to do was relevance, get harness racing back into the conversation. If you're not in the conversation, you're not relevant and people aren't watching your sport and investing in it or participating in it. So what we did was the build out of Trot's Vision to create a really nuanced platform for the sport, for people to be engaged with, was really, really critical. And we were able to do that quite successfully, and we knew our numbers were starting to skyrocket during the period when people were at home, and we created a lot of noise from an international perspective. We raced on Saturday mornings for the first time to see what it was like back internationally, because we knew that sport was off in the US and in Europe, and we tried all different things, and it just got us back in the conversation. So whilst traditionally you might look at your strategy and say, well, this is the way we're going to do it, we're going to get out there and engage, we're going to do certain things to achieve a vision, we actually were able to utilise COVID in many other ways, not just from a wagering bump, but being able, from a relevance point of view, to get us back in that conversation, which is really important.
Do you think harness racing's made some inroads as far as, you say, awareness, popularity, profile and things like that? Because the Greyhounds took harness racing's spot with the second biggest chunk of the wagering pie, and then... Yeah. So obviously there's a bit of catch up there, but do you feel that harness racing? I know a couple of Adam Hamilton and others who are very excited about the next generation, the next era of harness racing, the next little era, say the next 12 to 18 months, with efforts to resurrect the Inter Dominion and all sorts of things, stake money. Is its profile growing and bigger than it was 3 or 4 years ago? And if it's not, is that potential there for the next 2 or 3 years via Trot's Vision and other things?
Yeah, I think it's grown. I think the way we've been able to position the sport's been really important. When I started, all our features were all sort of pitted over the year. There was no stream to when the features were on. So people didn't know when the Vic Cup was on. I didn't even know when it was on. It changed so much that people are creatures of habit, and consistency is really key. So we set everything up very early on to say, right, we've got our main time of the year, we've got our time of the year when we run our product, But the main time of the year is to get people engaged in the sports, and they clearly will then follow the sport organically from there on. And we've become a really good complementary product. So, and I've seen the numbers, just from, I'll give you a quick example, on a Friday night when Moonee Valley races during the warmer months, when we've got our own Friday night meetings on, Mildura has gone gangbusters. It's our second highest turnover track in the state, and it runs off the back of Moonee Valley. So we came the next on, and we started to attract that gallop audience. We started to attract that younger punter, which was starting to really invest into greyhounds. And we've just started to slowly, but you know, in a really sort of measured way, get ourselves back into that marketplace. And for the first time in years, we've just on the last joint venture figures, first time in years, we're just taking a little bit of market share back, which is, it's only small, but it's a step in the right direction. And again, our turnover figures for this financial year will be $1.2 billion. So in the last 2 years, we've cracked the billion-dollar mark. Now, it's not to say that we're here, we've arrived. There's still some challenges ahead, but it's heading the right way.
I reckon a national tote pool is something that harness racing would really benefit by. Is that a battle that is still to be waged?
I think so, Matt. There's a couple of big junctures coming out. It's a great segue. So in the next 2 years, and we're working on these feverishly, it's like the duck on the pond with the feet going under the water, is we've got the media rights, we've got the sponsorship rights, we've got, which is a sub thing to that, is the naming rights for Melton, and then the wagering licence. The three main ones in that group are critical to the success of harness racing and wagering, how that licence looks and how it looks for harness and what a national solution could be is critical. We have to get our media rights exactly right this time, because we're building the Trots Vision platform, we're building digital, so we can control our media rights. Everyone remembers the old Channel 31 days when harness had a pretty sort of nuanced show on Saturday nights. It was quite popular. We need to control our pitches and our bespoke content so we can monetize it. And harness racing's never done that before. We're on that journey. Yep. There's a blueprint set now. Now, me walking out, some people are a bit nervous about that, but there is a set blueprint. There's a set way forward. And for the next CEO to come in, it's just a continuation of the pathway we're on.
I remember when you first came into the studio, the first big ambition was to try and bring harness racing closer to the CBD, but it seems as though the site probably was the issue there. Then attention turned back to Tabcorp Park Melton, and just the last one before I let you go, I think the one of the key things that harness racing has to do is to beautify Tabcorp Park Melton. You know, it's a lot of the harness tracks are very functional, but if this is the signature shop window for harness racing, I mean, fountains in the infield, avenue going in, things like that, are there any plans to make Tabcorp Park Melton a more attractive venue, do you know?
Yeah, look, we've got a number of projects on the way up there now. We've just relamped the whole circuit. The infield is being actually redone at the moment, and that's going to be finished in the next few weeks. It's actually, as you know, there was a swampy end to the infield. It didn't look great. So we've flattened the whole thing out to make it multi-purpose. So the venue becomes a multi-purpose venue to have multiple revenue streams. And we are wanting to do some work on the outside. That will be next. And then there's the owner's room for the VHRC, which is not far away, and there'll be some announcements around that shortly. And these are all projects from an infrastructure point of view, which we've been driving at HRV, where the Shepparton Training Centre is almost completed. Yep. Shepparton. And that drops the barriers to participation. The Charlton Training Centre, Joey Thompson and the team at Charlton have done an amazing job with that. It's full, and it underpins the fields for Shepparton, for Cobram, right across to Swan Hill into Mildura, which has been a success. So that's one of the other strategic drivers for HRV, is the training centre complex, and infrastructure is key. But wait for Tabcorp Park. The infield is almost done.
All right. My vision will be realised one day, Dale. One day my vision
will
be realised.
It will be, Matt. Unfortunately, with the move to the city, and I'm happy to be very transparent about this, is that there's a lot of heritage listed buildings on the site of the showgrounds. And at the moment, with the way the footprint is, you can only get about a 770-metre track in there. And you know, from a horse perspective and the speeds the horses do these days, especially the paces, you need somewhere around that 900 to 1,000 metre track. So while the footprint is as it is, it makes it very difficult to get the right size track in there at the moment.
Well, we'll see what happens down the track. Now, the future will be revealed in good time when you choose, and you finish in September. Yeah. So, Dale, we've got to go. It's past 9 o'clock. But thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for your time over the last 2 or 3 years, and best of luck with your next venture.
Thanks very much.